Moncrief on News Talk.
Despite or because of the deaths they have caused, Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents in the US had to be given a new weapon, gloves that can deliver an electric shock. As you can imagine, not everyone is too keen on this. The security and defence analyst Declan Power joins us now to tell us about them. Afternoon, Declan.
How are you, Sean? How are things?
So how do these things work? I assume it's not the same as a taser, which you can do from a distance. Do you have to actually get up and touch someone with this glove?
You do, but it's much more simple than a taser. A taser has to be, there's more training and there's more responsibility required in operating a taser. And it is a form of a firearm. The glove is, it's a part of what are the suite of options of what are now called less lethal weapons. So giving people, whether they're law enforcement or other people who would have to deal with violent individuals, an option. Other than a firearm. And it's very simple. You put the glove on, it's able to emit a charge of up to about 124 volts, I think is the max it can give, simply by just laying hands. So it's activated when you you lay hands or hand on your potential assailant. And it gives a jolt strong enough to put a healthy young man on the ground. It depends on how strong and how big the person is. You may, you know, literally applying it for 1 second onto the physique of an individual and you could knock them down. You might have to do it for longer, 2-3 seconds to disable them, enough maybe to restrain them. That's the idea behind it. In fact, the idea itself is not a bad one. If the contextual setting is right and the people using them are properly trained and properly disciplined in the use of it and supervised. In the case of ICE, well, two things, I suppose. You can look at it negatively in that ICE have not shown themselves to be a very competent law enforcement outfit in terms of how they're selected or trained or even their posture and presence on the streets. However, the one positive thing that I could say is that perhaps by using something like this glove, which is very simple to use, it's a lot easier than a taser, that they might be less inclined to use their firearms as freely as they have.
Yeah. Now, the charge it would deliver would be less than that of a taser. Would that be right?
Oh, considerably less. A taser can deliver up to about 1,200 or more volts. This is calibrated to emit 124. I think there's a max out of those gloves of maybe 150 volts. It's still enough. It's still enough. It's still enough, maybe not to kill a person in the general scheme of things. But if you were, there is a case that has been documented where a prisoner in a county jail who was being violent and a mixture of gloves and tasers were used on him that led to his death. But that was, I think, over 40 incidents of application.
Oh.
Again, one has to wonder what was going on there in terms of application and supervision, that if it wasn't working right the first couple of times, that another option wasn't being taken. The idea behind these, Sean, is that they're to render a person very temporarily defenseless in order for trained law enforcement officers or healthcare officials to be able to put restraints on the individuals so they can't harm themselves or others. It's not meant to be used, you know, continually, because the problem with something like that is 9 times out of 10, eight times anyway, let's say, you're not probably going to know the health status of the individual. So if the person could be large, well built, or even maybe not so large and well built, but on a substance, a narcotic substance that's causing them not to feel pain or whatever, but they could have a heart condition, they could have a variety of conditions that you don't want to damage them any further. And so once they are temporarily out of action, that you can apply restraints.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
Yeah. Okay. And I suppose you can see the logic of that. Especially in relation to ICE, given that there's perhaps a slight inclination to use more lethal force.
Look, ICE are probably a very bad example of how this could be used. I mean, let's face it, they appear to be acting like a latter-day version of the black and tans inflicted on their own people by their own government. But let's just look at it in the context of a properly trained police force or entity. Or let's just look at it in the context maybe of people who are in very unsafe situations who maybe need something to even up the balance. I don't know. One case that has been documented involves a female security official at a particularly rough secondary school in a part of the United States who was able to use it to temporarily disable a violent young man enough to, again, have him restrained and then to be taken into custody. You know, there's a lot of potential good use out of this. It's like anything at the end of the day, even firearms in general, Sean. You know, it's down to the people who use them and their intent and their training and their formation in terms of understanding the context and understanding the lethality of what they're using. You know, ice are not the ideal benchmark to measure against. I mean, if you think, certainly the footage I saw of them in recent times with the fatalities that most people listening would be aware of, the poor unfortunate nurse and the lady in the car. Not alone did those guys inflict the damage that they did, but I'm surprised that they didn't inflict damage on each other. Clearly, they didn't have a good level of grasp or understanding to be using firearms in close proximity to each other the way they were, and for the reasons they were using them with the individuals that they were claiming to want to restrain. So I think, you know, as I say, I go back to the one point, the only light at the end of the tunnel is that something like these gloves, they're a lot less dangerous to use than a taser.
Yeah.
They're a lot more simple to use.
Yeah. Are they, is their usage fairly widespread in the US? You did mention a teacher using them. God, that must be
not
a teacher.
Not a teacher that I'm aware of, but a person tasked with security in the school. They are not that widespread. They're not that widespread at the moment. They're a comparatively new piece of law enforcement technology, part of the concept of the less lethal weapons that gave us the taser or beanbag guns or a whole variety of other things that, you know, pepper sprays, things of that nature. And if you think of it in that context, you know, where a properly trained, properly constituted law enforcement officer is using it, particularly somebody who may not be, you know, that big or, you know, that or a female officer, it gives them an option to be able to subdue somebody who's acting in a very violent and dangerous way, or who may be on some sort of substance, or maybe in a psychotic state where you're not going to be able to use normal methods to restrain them, or that you may have to use lethal force. And in a situation with somebody who's on a substance or who's psychotic, you know, their biggest danger is to themselves as well as to others.
Yeah.
So something like that, if again used in the right way with the right training, could reduce the number of dangerous or lethal outcomes in those situations. I wouldn't be starting with ice.
yeah. Let's hope that's the case. Thanks, Declan. As ever, that was Declan Power, the security and defense analyst. The one Texas says it's not the voltage, but the current or ampage that kills about 5 milliamps, which is low. A kettle uses about 10 amps.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.